is a place that is prepared for those who are faithful to the Lord. It's going to instill in your life hope. It's going to give you a sense of purpose. It's going to change you inside, and then the outer individual will change as well. The behavior process. That's why it's important that we learn this culture of learning so that we can see what this relationship with God is all about. Then he says in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What a beautiful picture that is painted in the minds and the hearts of the disciples. And then turn around, they take that and share it with others. Look at the enthusiasm with those who would hear the gospel, especially among the Gentiles when Paul and Barnabas went out and preaching, and they were rejoicing that God has sent hope through Christ Jesus, that they could have this relationship with God. And the book of Acts is just filled with that. Even with the Ethiopian eunuch there in Acts chapter 8, what happened when Philip is caught up and gone? The eunuch goes on his way doing what? Rejoicing. Why? Because now he has a relationship with God. He understands what was going on in Isaiah chapter 53, that it was pointing to the sacrifice of Christ on his behalf, not only on his, but all men. And so he goes on his way rejoicing. And you see that over and over again. A message of hope. So the culture of God is a culture of learning. What else? Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, some of the things that was read by Brother Allen from this chapter. And the points that come forth from this helps us to understand that it's all about this relationship. See, in chapter 3, he talks about the administration of God that is beyond the apostle himself. It is bigger than him because it's all about God. So in chapter 4, as he talks about the relationship of individuals growing and being equipped as saints. And then you drop down the verse 9. Let's look at verse 17. He says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind." Outside of God, we walk in the futility of our mind, the emptiness. It's leading nowhere. We may be deceived into thinking that it is, but it's not. It is leading to eternal separation from God. And so he's encouraging them not to walk that way, but to walk away according to the will of God. Verse 18, "being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart." Look at that culture that they are involved in. This culture of a darkened understanding, they can't see. They really can't make the connections. They don't realize that their lives are excluded from the life of God. They don't know that they're walking in ignorance. They think that they know everything. They know where they should be going. But here the apostle is saying, no, they're in ignorance. They're rejecting those things that are right, those things that are good, the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality. Wow. That's what a life outside of God is. Giving their lives over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But notice what he says in verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Your life is to be different because of the culture of God, because of the teaching of His ways. And as we follow the Christ, we're going to be following the ways of God. We're going to be on this path of eternal salvation with Him and spending eternity with Him, praising Him for all the great things that He's done. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later on in another lesson. But here it is, a culture of learning. And in learning about these things, to get off that path of destruction and get on the path of righteousness. Look over at chapter 5, verse 10. In chapter 5 and verse 10, let's look at start at verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That culture of learning. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning. Because there's a lot that's here. You know, you read a passage one time and you get the surface information from that passage. And then you go back and you read a little bit more and study it again. What happens? You go to the next layer of learning in that passage. And you go through it again as you continue to grow in the knowledge of God. And then you see, whoa, there's more to this passage than the second layer. And then now you're at the third layer. Is there a fourth layer? You go back through then as you continue to learn. You see, oh, there's a fourth layer. Wow, this is deep in connection to what life is all about. And then all of a sudden, the things of this world become less and less important. It really does. And then you start to really hone in and zero in on the things that truly matters. And what matters is knowing the depth, the breadth, and the height of all of these things that God has revealed. And it becomes intriguing and fascinating. And you continue to be this pillar in the community where others are seeing how you conduct yourself and the things that you know as you convey to help them to come out of this realm of destruction into this realm of righteousness where there is peace and rest for the soul in this relationship with God. That is what goes on in this process or in this culture of learning when it comes to God's culture. How great and marvelous our God is. And these passages are telling us it's about that learning. It's about that growing. Know something else in reference to these matters. That not only is it a culture of learning, it is a culture of life. Yeah. And I mean that in every sense of the term. Life, true life, is this union, as James talks about the body with the spirit shows life, about life. But true life is this union with the Lord. That's what true life is about. And we see this expressed throughout the scriptures. Again, let's go to our Lord and look at what the Lord says there in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, he points that out to the disciples again. Just listening just to the words and the teachings of our Lord, that he may teach us his ways. Notice what he's teaching. He's teaching about life here. And he tells them in reference to the body. Life is more than clothing. Life is more than food. For this reason, he says, for this reason I say, Do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. You see, those things are not excluded, but there's more to it than those things. And so many people are caught up on the physical things, and they are not looking at the spiritual. Life is about the spiritual. Yes. It provides a depth that you and I are just, we're longing to try to understand and grasp, and we'll continue to learn until we actually experience it. This is what the apostle was talking about, the apostle Paul, when he was talking about that he might attain to the resurrection. Yeah. I would like to know, as John was saying, we do not know what we will be, but we do know we will be like him. There over in 1 John chapter 3. Wow. That tells us it's more than, life is more than about the physical. Life is about the spiritual. Remember this passage that Jesus pointed out here in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, where he talks about being the good shepherd. Notice what Jesus says here as he talks about the thief. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Those words provide a depth to them that you and I, as we focus on the spiritual, will continue to be striving to learn what this is all about. God provides for those who are faithful life. That's the whole point of Jesus. He's coming to give life and life more abundantly. When we follow the culture of God in this concept about life, we then begin to develop a respect for life. We begin to develop a respect for the human life so that we will help them to grow or learn about the God that we serve. In our cancel or woke culture, there is a lack of respect for life. Yeah. And it's because they have forgotten God. God is no longer in the picture in their mind and their heart. And in fact, they even fight or oppose those who would bring God into the picture. And the reason why those who would bring God into the picture are the ones that have respect for life. The culture of God in this learning process, we are learning about how tremendous life is and how important this is, especially when it comes in the relationship to God. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, remember what the apostle pointed out to the Galatian brethren? He says, you do good to all men. You see, you do good to all men. And then he says, especially the household of faith. But that first part, to do good to all men, that is showing that God is teaching us to have respect for all life. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. In a society where women were looked down upon, where Peter points out in the teachings of the brethren there, and we do well to listen, that's where women are honored. Why? Because there's a respect for all life. Yeah. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6, a very stern warning that Jesus gave in reference to hindering those who would serve Him, these little ones, to teach them to go against God. He says it would be better for that individual to tie a millstone around his neck and cast himself into the sea. Showing respect even for the little ones. You see it all over the text. When you are being taught God's ways, and it is a culture of learning, what's going to happen is you're going to develop a respect for life because it is a culture about life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. Notice it comes up again, where Paul writes to Timothy, and what he is teaching Timothy. And again, we learn from this that a life that is tethered to God is life indeed. In verse 17, he says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is, notice, life indeed. Yes. When you go back to Isaiah chapter 2, let us go up to the house, the God of Jacob, so that He will teach us His ways. It's a culture of learning. And it's a culture about life. But it's not always going to be easy. Because in that process of learning, and in that process of application, you're going to find that there will be conflict. And the Lord, through the apostles and prophets, instruct us how to deal with that. Because He's letting us know that these clashes are going to come. And when these clashes come, how do we meet those challenges? So He lets us know that it's also a culture of suffering. A culture of suffering. You're going to be slandered. You're going to be accused. Where you're teaching what is right, you're going to be accused of not doing so. And sometimes the pressure is going to come upon you to cause you or try to get you to buckle. The encouragement is, don't buckle. Put your hand in the hand of God. Continue to apply His teachings in your life. Look with me, if you will, at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 25 here. You see, Peter, when he writes these letters, these two epistles, he's preparing the saints for suffering. That's what he's doing. He is stirring them up, as he says, Because he realizes that his time on earth is short. And so what he wants to do, as he's guided by the Spirit, is to stir them up and to remind them of those things and prepare. So in the first letter, that's what he's doing. He's telling them and teaching them how to live in a life where sometimes they're going to be suffering. So in chapter 2, in verse 20, he says this, "For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. You are suffering for His sake. Where the world wants you to turn away from God and are pressuring you to do so, and you are fighting against that by teaching them the way of God, creating this clash, you may sometimes suffer for that. And if you do it willingly, if you endure it with patience, you are finding favor with God, because God has been teaching us His ways." Look at the clash of our Lord as He came among His own, and they didn't receive Him. There was a clash. There He is trying to teach those who were sinners. They slandered Him, but He kept right on. See? And our Lord teaches us to endure these things with patience. Now I want you to notice verse 21. "For you have been called for this purpose." Wait a minute. Now, Albert, when you were talking about all those good things applying in our lives, and now you're talking about a culture of suffering, and we're called for this purpose? Whoa. Sometimes you're not going to know true joy until you understand what suffering is about. Yeah. It's a part of the growing process. Seeing the hand of God at work in your life, as your life changes through all of that suffering, and then what happens, it causes you to draw closer to the one who created us. And when you draw closer to Him, the brighter the light, the stronger the spirit. And then when you overcome or endure and conquer that, there is the joy that's there, and you can look back and you give God thanks. So, when Peter says you're called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. You know, suffering builds character. It makes you stronger. And that's why I say sometimes the mundane things of life, they're nothing. What good, and some of us may, if even I could have all the wealth in the world. And we always say, if we don't have good health, can't enjoy, can you? Yeah. But that's why the focus is on the spiritual, where Paul told Timothy to do good unto all men. You may not be able to enjoy it from a physical standpoint, but you can enjoy it from a spiritual standpoint as you're helping others to come to know God. And that's what we'll all, that's all that'll matter to you. That a soul has come to the God that you serve. And so as Peter points these things out, as we go on in the text, And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. It changes the perspective. So it is a culture of suffering. It's a culture that you will clash. And I will say this for, again, the younger folks who are in school, your peers. They're going to try to put a lot of pressure on you. But I want to encourage you to be a good example. Because you are going to be their conscience. That's why sometimes it's going to be a clash. And who knows that there might be one in that group will see your strength, gain courage, and change. Is that not what the apostle pointed out in the letter that he wrote to the Philippian brethren? About even impacting the Praetorium guards because of his steadfastness in the suffering. Brethren, gaining courage. And who knows, there's an individual that you may be giving encouragement to that they can stand firm and that they are not by themselves if they stand firm because you're there and you'll help them. So it is about this culture of suffering, but in the process of all of this, it's a culture of learning as well, and learning what life is truly about. So, this causes us to search out God. Remember Prophet Jeremiah, chapter 37? Remember, he was placed in prison. And it seems like he was the only one. But he wasn't. But he stood firm and proclaimed the message of God. There are examples after examples in the Old Testament, especially, where individuals stood firm. I think about Micaiah. Remember, he is the prophet who Ahaz wants to find out or wants to go into battle against to reclaim territory. And here is the prophets coming in, Zedekiah, and he's given his prophecies. Yeah, go up, horns of iron. And Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of God among you? Yeah, there is Micaiah. He never says anything good. And then Micaiah comes in and he says, yeah, because remember, he's told by the guards that coming to get him. He says, now the rest of the prophets are saying good things for the king to hear. And so he comes in and he says, yeah, go up. I told you he doesn't do anything good and then says anything good. And Micaiah warns them that if you do, it's not going to be good. He stood alone against all of what the other prophets were saying, these false prophets. You see that over and over again. You see that there also with Daniel. Daniel did the same thing. He and his friends stood firm. And as they stood firm, they impacted the king. They impacted others in that community of the Babylonians. They suffered, but yet they stood firm and they were impacting nations. It's a culture of suffering. But it causes us to draw ever closer to our God. Remember the apostles there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, as they are preaching, and the Sanhedrin is against what they are preaching, but they continue to do so. And they stood firm. And they taught. Lives changed. Brethren were encouraged. When you see these things throughout. Also done in chapter 8 as well. So when it comes to what this looks like in reference to the indestructible culture of God, it looks like the culture of learning, the culture of life. But along with that, there are going to be the culture of suffering too. But as we follow God and learn of His ways and apply them in our lives, He's going to be with us every step of the way. And sometimes it's going to feel, now I want you to understand what I'm getting ready to say. Sometimes it's going to feel like He isn't. But because of the promises that God has made, He is there. And He will supply you with the strength that you need. You never know the life that you might be impacting as you're going through all of these things. And it may be for the very purpose of a soul that just needs some encouragement. We don't know. But as we follow the ways of God in this culture of His, we will have that sense of purpose and we will accomplish His will in our lives. And this finds favor with God. That's whom we are seeking to please, God. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Our merciful God and Father, thank You for Your will that teaches us of how we ought to be, that we have the ability to learn, that we might apply what we learn in our lives to help us to be stronger and realize that You have a purpose for us, and that purpose is to serve You, and how You may use us to impact others. We humbly submit to Your will and thank You for this opportunity because of Christ Jesus, whom You sent to suffer on our behalf and then be raised from the dead that we might have hope, that our suffering is not in vain. Our lives that we dedicate to You is not in vain, but it is filled with hope and the joy of the relationship that we will have with You here and the uninhibited fellowship with You in eternity. Thank You for that hope. Thank You for Your word that guides us and teaches us. May we apply it in our lives each day so that You will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, all things are ready to help you to do so before it's everlasting too late. You see, the Christ came and He died for you and me. That's what Peter pointed out there in 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice he pointed out the suffering of Christ. And he talked about the death of Christ so that we might live. And if we suffer for Him, we should rejoice at that because He suffered for us. And He gave us something far greater than what we ever could have given, providing life. And so the encouragement to you tonight, if you have not done so, to do so before it's everlasting too late. This life is about life. Life eternal with God. See, we're going to live beyond this realm. The question is, where will it be? Will it be an eternal separation from God, or will it be with God? And the only way that it can be with God is by your obedience to the gospel, my obedience to the gospel. And initially it is when you put Christ on in baptism And when you do so, you are buried with Christ. And when you are buried with Christ, you are then united in His death. And then when you are raised, you are raised a new creation, new life in Christ Jesus. Because you died with Him, and now your life is with Him. It is hidden in God. And as you keep your mind on things above, God will guide you through the challenges of this life to the eternal abode with Him. May that be your desire. Again, all things are ready. We're here to help. And so, my friend, if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we want to encourage you to come and make that known as we stand and sing the song that is indicated.